Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. Purport. Every man everywhere is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy, engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon, the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking somaras. And the Pitriloka is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for sense enjoyment, either during this life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, can one obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life, one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth, we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise, it would not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patala are also changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, while he will not be forced to come back again to the miserable world, either in this or that planet. Miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmaloka and in other lokas also. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and the hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all living beings are only of different degree and quality. But no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavors. Even if they are obtained, they can be lost again. One should not, therefore, waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. End of purport. So these important instructions here by Narada Muni on the objective, you could say, of our life are recurring. We find this recurring emphasis on this point recurring throughout the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, what is his statement to the schoolboys when he was preaching to the boys in the school? What did he say to the boys? Pardon? Play football, is that what you say? Now you're young, let us enjoy. You can think of Krishna when you get old, right? Is that what he told them? What did he tell them? I don't know the Sanskrit. Maybe we did one time. But old age, memory is not so good. Not so good. What did he tell them? Pardon? Many things. Okay, tell us something that he said. More or less. A very good answer. I'm going to tell you many things. It's like the verse, yes, yes, yes. And you ask them what they say. I don't know what. Well, many things. Yes, many things. Don't waste your time playing ball. Right? You waste half your life sleeping. Right? Some people spend half their life sleeping. Isn't it? I don't know about the devotees here, but some people may have some sickness, but they spend so much of their life sleeping. What do they do with the rest of their life? Maybe they work 8 hours a day working. And what do they do with the rest of the time? Maybe there's 4 to 8 hours left. Pardon? Facebook? That's very good. Yeah, spend a couple of hours or more on Facebook or something like that. Driving to work. I mean, some places, how long does it take to get to work? 2 or 3 hours. I don't know, maybe, well, at least 1 or 2 hours. Just going to work and back, huh? Traffic jams, stuck up in some train or bus or something. Oh, what a life. Day after day after day, and they have their great break. And they go away for the weekend, huh? They have a weekend free. Or for a week's holiday somewhere and enjoy this. And then back again. And of course they have to eat a little bit and then sense enjoyment if they can get some working day or all day long. And they try to get some sex life or some other type of sense gratification at the end of the day. So as it states, don't say it here, but this is a, Prabhupada says in the purport, this is also obtainable by the hogs and the dogs. This is also emphasized in the Bhagavatam on several occasions. We find this, you know, what's the use of endeavoring for this happiness? Lord Rishabhdev, 5th canto, many verses of Lord Rishabhdev. And again, my memory is failing me, but there are many verses there of Lord Rishabhdev describing the futility of endeavoring in this human form of life for sense gratification, which is easily obtained in all forms of life. And as Prabhupada is emphasizing here, that our happiness is destined, predestined. It's going to come due to our past work. It's not because of, you know, move. If I move here, then I'll be happy. If I move there, then I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. If I get this, I'll be happy. You know, so this is the usual mental speculation that we are affected by. But Happiness, distress come. Even if we're rich, famous, does it make people happy? Are rich people necessarily happy? Not necessarily, maybe, to some degree. Poor people may be happy. And there was one time a report, I think it was in Newsweek, about analyzing the happiest nation on the planet. I don't know how they worked that one out. But they had some media of analysts, and they came to the conclusion Bangladesh was the happiest country. Most people think there's the most miserable country. Bon voyage. Au revoir. The most miserable country. Poor, crowded, you know. A lot of things going on there. Some devastation, some whatever, hurricane, or I don't know what they call it, typhoon or something. All sorts of things going on. Poor people. Yet they said they were the happiest nation. Incredible. You think America would be the happiest nation, huh? Or England, France, whatever it is. You generally find it's like France. I don't know if anyone here. Anyone from France? I've got to find that out first before I say anything about France. Here's one French devotee here. Are you not going back? You're going to stay here now? They're leaving in a few minutes. Okay. They're going back to Paris now. Thank you for coming. And anyway, I don't know how true it is, but France, they say, has the highest depression. The people are so depressed. You know, they've got material facilities. Same in America. So many people are... Material facilities are there, but you know, there's so much talk, drug-taking, pharmaceutical drug-taking, depression, can't sleep, you know, hyper, you know, whatever it is, you know, bipolar, this thing, that thing. So many things that people are suffering from, even though they've got nice televisions, they've got nice Facebooks, they've got nice cars, nice houses, nice everything, huh? Materially, but there's still satisfaction is not there. Where does the satisfaction come from? It's not an external. We may think it's external, but the real satisfaction is within our hearts, isn't it? When we're actually satisfied within, in any circumstance, doesn't matter what the circumstance are. What have you learned from this verse? Anything from the purport? What have we learned from this purport? Krishna says, from the topmost planet down to the lowest planet, everywhere is a place of suffering. So that's nice. That's one point. Why? People think if they go to heaven, then I'll be happy. Why is there still suffering, even the higher planets? Simple question. Pardon? You're going to die. You can't avoid it, right? Cert is death. Everyone in this universe has to leave their body at some point of time, as Prabhupada say here. You may get some pleasure, but you're going to lose it soon. Money. Huh? They were hankering after money. Position in society. Huh? Beautiful girls. I remember one time we had, this back in about 73, there was this one man in Leicester, an Indian gentleman, and he was a nice man, but he was very much attached to this particular young lady, an Indian lady, beautiful young girl. And he really wanted to have her as his partner, so he really tried very hard to attract her attention. She wasn't going for it. And she was quite a... He wasn't that rich, and so, you know, he didn't have... Oh, you know what it's like. I'm a beautiful girlfriend, you've got to have a bit of money. So anyway, he did everything he could. He was pious, so he went to the local priest, and the priest gave him some yajnas to perform and different pujas to do and different mantras to chant and different things, and he was going for it. It took 1 or 2 hours a day. And he did this for some time, and somehow or another, by the arrangement of higher authority, he He actually got that girl as his wife. He succeeded. But there was a condition. He had to carry on with the pujas and the mantras and everything. And she was quite a demanding young lady. And he wasn't an extremely qualified young man. So he had to work overtime every day till 7, 8 o'clock every day. He'd come home. He had to do all these pujas and everything. He was totally exasperated, exhausted, and absolutely sick and tired of what was, you know, his whole life was hell. He's a very demanding young lady, so he had to buy this, buy that, do this, do that, do this, do that. He was like 24 hours just trying to keep up with life. He thought, now I'm going to enjoy, and he ended up like a slave. You know. It's the material world. Everyone's a slave. What else have you learned from this purport? And another thing in heaven, what's another problem? It's not just death. What's another problem? Pardon? Well, that they may not be thinking of separation from Krishna. Intoxication is great. It's really good up there. It's better than. I don't, what do you drink? What's your favorite drinks? Arcos? Huh? What's that? Pardon? Guinness? No, you're Irish. From Ireland. Oh, it's much better up there, the intoxication. It's really nice. You don't get a hangover. You don't get, you know, maybe you get a little drunk, but you don't get any hangovers up there. What else is there up there that's not so nice? Pardon? I don't think there's not much sickness up there, no. Not much, if any. Maybe a sniff now and again. Somebody's hands up. Yes? Oh, yeah, what does that mean? Huh? Fearful. Fearfulness. There's always the lurking fear, you know. Isn't it everything in the material world is like, you know, behind the scene is a little fear, isn't it? More or less everything, you know. Even sitting here giving class or, you know, say you meet somebody, there's always a little fear there, or you're walking on the street, you've got a lot of money in your pocket, there's a little fear there. Hari Bol, Dhanatai Prabhu. Safe journey. And Krishna, see you in France. If anyone's looking, I better not say it. Okay. So there's fear up there. Well, we won't say much about the hellish planets. They generally, people, if they believe it at all, kind of accept that there's, you know, it's not so good down there. You know, the televisions don't work in hell. You don't get, the mobile doesn't work. Nothing works down there. Hellish. On this earthly planet, everybody knows, you know, they say you're walking along the street, you know, there's a little bit of fear you might lose your money. You ever had that experience? You know, you got some money in your pocket, you put your hand in your pocket, it's not there. How'd you feel? Great, huh? Wonderful. Oh, how fortunate I am. My money is gone. Oh, what a lucky day. What a lucky day. My good fortune, huh? Generally not the case. Well, your mobile phone even worse, right? I've seen people like go into hysterics when they've lost their mobile phone. Literally hysterics. Huh? You ever seen that? Maybe you've done it. I don't know. Someone gave me a mobile last year. I still don't know how to use it. You know? Every time I pick it up, it goes off. I press the wrong side. Of it. I don't know. I got some jinx with mobiles. I don't know. Whatever it is, you know, your car, you walk outside and your car is not there, you know. Joy! Hari Bol! I'm relieved. I had an experience. I was in Birmingham. You heard of Birmingham? A wonderful place. It's like heaven there. Birmingham's a heavenly planet. Beautiful place. Someone from Birmingham here, must be. Who's from Birmingham? Where? There? Who's that? Where's the hand going up? You're from Birmingham. Congratulations. Congratulations, you escaped. I lived in Birmingham. Actually, the first time I ever heard of Krishna consciousness movement was in Birmingham. Anyway, I was there one day, and it was Rathiatra. Is it about 5 years ago, maybe? Rathiatra Festival. And it was nice Rathiatra. And then I was going to travel with the Scottish devotees in their camper van up to Glasgow. after the Rath Yatra. So we put all my bags in our camper van, and we were on the stage doing kirtan right at the end of the Rath Yatra. And we came back to the camper van after the Rath Yatra, and I had my bags. I just purchased a $2,800 computer for somebody. I bought it back to give to them when I got here. I had a little computer, and I had a few other things. So we got back to the van, and I just came from New York, and got back to the van, and we noticed the window was open of the van. Oh, didn't look like a very good omen. We opened the door. Oh, no. The bag's gone. Suitcase. No, that disappeared. Other little bag which I had, open, nothing in it. Empty. And one other young boy who was a guest, just coming with us, a new boy, his bags were gone. Just the two of us lost all our bags. And my one bag was there. Amazing enough, you know, believe it or not, I had days of Gorni Thai. They were sitting there in the bag. They didn't take Gorni Thai. They left Gorni Thai behind. And I don't know if they were Muslims, but they didn't take the days. And that was it. You know, imagine how you feel. And especially, I just bought this brand new computer for somebody, latest state-of-the-art computer. And I said, why me? This is the material world, you know. Everyone says, why me? Isn't it? It's the same with everyone. It's going to happen to all of us so, sooner or later. So better use it in Krishna service before it goes. So I had this immediate feeling of, oh, no, you know, as you feel. Then we a lot of things happened, but after a while, you just resigned to the fact that it's gone. And it was like a big relief. A feeling, you know, okay, Krishna, remembering that Krishna's in control, whatever happens is his grace. And he felt like a great load off on his shoulders. And then about an hour later, after all the police reports and the searches that took place around the local area, etc., etc., this was about 10 o'clock at night by now, a telephone call came from Aston Police Station saying, for this young boy who lost his bag, hello, is that Mr. So-and-so? He said, yes, yes, who's this? This is Constable So-and-so. Have you lost your bag? He said, yes. Oh, maybe we found it, he said. You want to come over to the police station in Aston? You might find we've got it. So we drove over there, and the reason was he found a card. The boy had a name card with his phone number inside the bag. So they took that, and the police made some search. It was amazing. And we got there, and the police constable came after a while, and he said, so, you lost your bags? Or lost some things? He said, yes. And what did you lose? And I said, well, I lost two computers and a phone, and they said, one by one, they all came out. He delivered the computer, as good as new, both of them, and the GPS, which was taken out the front of the car, of course, and the camera, and all sorts of things came out. And there was none of the devotional stuff came out. You know, he was just delivering all the sort of, you know, what he thought were valuable stuff. So then we went back I asked him how he got hold of it, and they told us the story, and obviously some thieves, they managed to catch them, they were drug addicts. They found them somewhere in Birmingham, and I said, well, where are they now? They said, oh, they're in hospital right now. And so they gave them a good whacking. So we went to the play. They thought they were going to enjoy, but they ended up getting in hospital, probably in prison too. But we went back there, and then we found all the other stuff. Everything was there, all the clothes, the dhotis, I won't mention all the things, but all the things were there except for the cartels, the tilak. Tilak wasn't there. Cartels were not there. The books were not there. The pictures were not there. Our suchi kits were not there. So I think one of them was a Brahmin, you know, one of these, you know, real Brahmin. He must have got away, you know. He escaped. Because he was a devotee-ishly inclined, Krishna let him go, I think. Because there were none of those things there. Someone must have made off with him. All the other stuff was there, including the bag. So anyway, that was an interesting story. How you go through these different emotions, you know. Oh, no, and then relief. This is the material world, up and down, huh? Bhoga Tyaga like this, you know, up and down. You think, oh, no, I've got it. And then, boom, Maya takes it away, huh? Isn't it? Whatever is your health, your wealth. People sometimes think of retire, now I'm going to enjoy, and everything's lost. You get sick and you can't do anything. That's the way the world is. What else have you learned from this purport? Huh? Hand up? Ananda? We're under the influence of the material nature, you could say. Yes, ignorance. Let's say ignorance. Ignorance is another thing, isn't it? The root cause, in one sense, isn't it? Of the so-called all kinds of material happiness, although we call them happiness, are really only relatively reduction in misery or removal of ignorance or removal of fear. It's not exactly a, you know, something on its own two legs or standing on its own account. It's when the actual characteristics of the material world are diminished. Isn't it? Like when you know something, you feel a bit better, right? You know, ignorance is a really miserable thing. Have you ever had that experience? I remember one time I was in Africa. Who's been to Africa? Oh, a lot of you. Let me put my glasses on so I can just see things in the air. Many. Not been married to Africa? Wow. You've been to Africa? Ian's been to Africa. Wow. He comes from Kenya, right? Kenya. Nairobi? Nairobi. I lived in Nairobi for quite a while. And I was in Uganda. You've been to Uganda? Who's been to Uganda? Put my glasses back on. Who's been to Uganda? See, this is, oh, what a relief. Cool, now I can see. And we think that's great, huh? Now I can see, I've got glasses. But, it's unnatural not to see. Who's been to Uganda? Quite a few. Are you from Uganda? Oh, you're from Tanzania. I met someone else from Tanzania yesterday. Are you from Uganda? Who else is that? You've been to Uganda?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. It's a gorgeous country. It's so beautiful. Don't you think so? It's beautiful. Huh? Yeah, the Pearl of Africa. It's the Pearl. It was so opulent. Such an opulent country. It's like quite a little high, a little elevated inland. On Lake Victoria, beautiful Lake Victoria. Everything's growing. It's so opulent. Pardon?
Her name, previous to the colonization, was
Narumansi. Naru what? Narumansi. Narumansi, huh? Real jewel. It's a beautiful country. Anyway, whatever. It's a beautiful country. And I went there just 1979, I went there. And in 1979, there was one leader of Uganda. His name was Idi Amin. You may have heard of him or not. And I won't get into his history. He was quite a notorious character. Not everybody felt so happy there when he was the leader of the country. In fact, 9 million of them didn't find out. They did find out, but they didn't last very long. He had Prabhupada started the Sunday Love Feast, but he must have heard of the Sunday Love Feast. So he used to have, Prabhupada started. He started a Sunday Love Feast in the 70s. And his Sunday Love Feast was to take his friends out onto Lake Victoria. And they'd have a feast on Lake Victoria. When talking about his friends, there are people who somehow or another may have been a little bit of an obstacle to his purposes. And he would feed them to the crocodiles on Sunday afternoon in Lake Victoria. So he had his Sunday Love Feast. Quite a character. I went there a week or two after he was chased out by the Tanzanian army. And we had quite an experience there. I went with this one young man who joined our temple in Nairobi. He was from Uganda. And he'd gotten an escape from Uganda. And then after Idi Amin had been chased out to Sudan, then we went there. It was quite an experience. I can't say we achieved very much in the way of spreading Krishna consciousness particularly. We did something. I mean, we went to his town, the town he was from before. He lived in a little village just outside this small town somewhere in the northwest. I can't even remember the name. Northwest of Kampala, somewhere. It was horrendous. On the whole journey, we got arrested 3 times before we reached there. That was okay. We survived. We survived that. And then it was like bombs going off. All the roads were smashed. Everything was smashed. The place was devastated, completely finished. The most opulent country, practically. And we got to his town, and the next morning we stayed in a little village in a mud hut. Next morning I went into the village, into the town rather. I had some magazines called Rudy Kumungo, and Sweet Image Back to Godhead. So I took these magazines into the town. I didn't know what was going on. We were out of touch with the news, completely off the radar, so to speak, you know. No, nothing. And suddenly, it was middle of the day in this little town. Everything went dark. And it's cunning, huh? Imagine what would happen in the middle of the day if everything went dark. It was a sunny day. And all of a sudden, I wonder what's going on. A group of people were gathered around me. It's quite a novelty, you know. I chanted. Then I started put the magazines up. Rudy Kumungo, Penny Mojo, and hundreds of people pushing and shoving to get their magazines. And they all went. And then suddenly the sun disappeared. It was a full eclipse of the sun, completely full. I looked it up just last year, and saw that day was a full eclipse of the sun in Uganda. It's a full eclipse of the sun. And everything was an amazing experience. It was like everything was purple. I didn't know that. I didn't know what was going on. I looked up, you know. As you know, it's not very auspicious to look at that. So that night I had the most tremendous fever of my life when I got back to the village. Absolutely tremendous fever. It was unbelievable fever. And then late in the evening, in this feverish condition, suddenly bang, 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 the Tanzanian army burst into the village, smashing everything. They burst into the room and grabbed me, took the passport, took the money, bogus, forgery. They had a few words in English. Passport, forgery, money, black market. And it was all gone. And they threw me that back down. They beat the other guy up. And the next day I was just lying there and still feverish. And they came back again with trucks and army men. And they dragged us out. They forced us to go into this truck with the 20 Tanzanian guys with guns at us like this. We sat in the truck, you know, and it's like, I asked him, I forgot about the fever completely. Totally. It's a good cure if you're sick, I'll tell you. You'll completely forget about your sickness. A better form of misery, you know. Varieties of misery, huh? I said, what are they doing? They said, they're driving us to shoot us. We're going to the shooting range, he said. Because he could hear what they were saying. He was Swahili. And at that time, I just didn't know what was going on. I was kind of like, just trying to work it out. But when he said that, then it was quite interesting because, you know, when someone tells you you're going to be, you know, especially when you've got 20 army guys with guns in your face, and you're told you're going to be taken to the shooting range, and Maharaj, you know quite well what happens in Africa. Ladini, wasn't it? Ladini? That lady from New Vrindavan. This is what they do, you know. And it was going on all the time in Uganda at that time. And so what do you do when you hear that? What would you do in such a situation? Huh? You're in the middle of the jungle, driving through the jungle. You don't know where you are. It's dark. It's nighttime. What are you going to do? Cry? Mummy! What are you going to do? Call the police. I'm British. You can't do this to me. I'll call the Queen on you. What are you going to do? Huh? You can pray. What will you pray for? Pardon? To save you? You could do that also. How does a devotee pray? They chant? What do they chant? That's what I chanted. I know what you chant. We met one Christian on the square. Yes, who was with me when we were in Trafalgar Square on Saturday? Then those two Christians came up. Anyone was there? You were with me that time when they were talking to me. You were there. Let me put my glasses on. See you. I can't remember seeing you there, huh? After the Rathiatra. There was two really enthusiastic, super enthusiastic Christian gentlemen came up to me. I was so fortunate to meet them. They said, "You're worshiping the devil!" I'm talking to these guests. And "You're worshiping the devil! Jesus is the only one!" Going on and on and on, you know, blah, 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 blah. Really loud, you know. I'm trying to talk to these people. And I said, "Oh, we're so fortunate today to have met real Christian like you. Thank you for your association. We're so kind of you." I kept on going, and another one came in. He said, "You know, I'm from Andhra Pradesh. Let me tell you." He said, "Are you worshipping Narsingadev, aren't you?" And I said to Akande, I said, "Akandidi Prabhu, you're from a Christian background. There's some nice people here to talk to." Akande is very expert at these things, so I carried on talking to these guys. And he took over with these lovely, lovely young gentlemen on the other side there. Anyway, I started chanting the Shingo's pranam mantra. And believe me, it was one of the most ecstatic times of my life. It was somehow or another, it was so ecstatic. I didn't care less what happened, completely. Because you realized how the fallibility of material life. It was probably one of the most profound experiences of my life in terms of that. And it was complete relief. I guess you can, maybe some of you experience something like that, but when we're no longer depending on this material world, and you realize there's nothing, absolutely nothing we can do about it. And some or another, Lord Narsingadev is showing a little mercy. A couple of times that happened. And then, somewhere in the jungle, suddenly the truck stopped. And you're all waiting. Okay, time's up. Okay, we have to finish this. Sorry about that. Oh. I suddenly started beating up all these army guys and punched them all out the truck. took the car out of the truck and turned it around and drove back to Kenya. That's what happened, right? Not quite. The truck came to a standstill. There were lights. I could see lights shining towards the truck, you know. It was like a cattle truck, really. And there were lights shining towards it. And suddenly the back of the truck opened, and someone was shining torches in her eyes, you know. We were just talking in Swahili. I don't know what they were saying. But it happened to be the assistant district commissioner, who happened to be driving the opposite direction down this jungle lane at the same time. Like a one in a billion chance, practically. And some or another, what he said to them, because they were supposed to be working under the district commissioner, although they didn't really do that. They were kind of independent. The Tanzanian army were like law unto themselves. But anyway, he told them, they couldn't move anyway because his truck was on the opposite way. There was only one lane. So then he had made them reverse and then turn around, and then we drove all the way back to the town, and then he threw me in the jail. And I got in the jail. I didn't know what was going on and what was going to happen next. We did not know. And then again, that feeling disappeared. That experience of like feeling complete relief, and because now it was total ignorance, didn't know what was going to happen. Especially when I talked to the guy next to me. There was one African guy next to me in the pigsty, who said, I asked him. He spoke English. No one else spoke. He spoke English. I said, "How long have you been here?" He said, "I think it's about 8 years. I'm not sure." I said, "What are you here for?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I haven't seen anyone I know for the last 8 years. And I don't know what I just don't know. I have no idea. They just kept me here for 8 years without any idea why I'm here." He said, "This is what they do to you. This is what they'll do to you as well. They do this to everyone here." Oh, my God. I wish they shot me. Can you imagine how it feels? This is the material life, you know, this up, down. And that was 100 times worse than being in that truck. Unlimitedly worse, just not knowing. Ignorance is such a powerful, miserable thing. But everyone gets used to it. Misery loves company. Everyone gets used to this because everyone's in ignorance. And we accept ignorance as knowledge. We accept so-called relief of misery as happiness, isn't it? We accept when we're no longer, a little bit of relief of fear, we accept that as, you know, something nice. But this whole world is nothing but is a place of dukkhayam shashvatam, is a place of suffering, a temporary place. We're all trying to work for permanency, but there is no permanency in this world, is there? Except for the karma, the misery and everything goes on, but we're just experiencing all this up and down. We go on our samsara cycle. There's no relief. And this is all people know. They're in complete ignorance. They think the solution is to improve the misery. Even Prabhupada says in hell that Maya the Prabhupada writes this. He said, even in hell, Maya makes the living entity think I'm okay. My suffering's not so bad. His boiling ghee is much hotter than mine. I'm doing pretty good. You're in a pot of boiling hot ghee, you know, being boiled alive. But my ghee's better than your ghee. Some kind of mentality there, you think we're doing well. Anyway, Krishna puts us through all these various experiences so that we realize the philosophy, realize these statements here of Narada Muni. What's the use of endeavoring for this so-called pleasure of this world? You're going to lose it anyway. It's all going to be taken. Better use it in Krishna's service rather than lose it. Use it now before it's too late. Use this human form of life while you're young. As Prahlad Maharaj said, don't wait till you're an old man with no teeth left, can't see, Parkinson's disease, whatever it is, you know. What do they call it when you can't remember anything? Huh? Alzheimer's? Amnesia? Huh? Dementia. Whatever it is, you know, some kind of beautiful disease. There are so many beautiful, wonderful diseases you can associate with in this world, you know. Oh, beautiful, isn't it? And many of you have experienced it. Some of you may be experiencing it. Some of our dear devotee here is experiencing one of the most common. It's a plague. One of our devotees in Auckland, he's a cancer specialist, said it's just like a plague. It's just like a plague. It's just rampant everywhere. It's boom, boom. Nobody wants it, but it comes, right? Is that what you want? Someone says, what do you want? I want to be sick. I want to die. I want to get old. I want to get diseased. Nobody asks for that. Very few. But it comes, right? You don't want it. We're not. What type of controllers are we? This is the material world. It's forced upon us. You could say because of our past lives, but it's forced upon everyone. There's some kind of sickness or mental disturbance in the whole universe. You can't escape it. The Bhagavatam is to help us to realize this, to realize we do not belong in this world. This is an abnormal situation for the soul who is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge to live in a world which is temporary, near, and full of misery, near Ananda, Asat, and Achit. This world is ignorant. There's no real bliss here. It's just a relief of suffering. It's like, probably gives the example, someone standing on your foot for 100 years. You get used to it after a while. It's normal. And then when they take their foot off, whoa, what is this? What a relief. But it's just a normal case, normal situation. People don't know what normality is. We're so absorbed in trying to exploit our bodies, this material world, the bodies of others, and so on. It's important to hear this messages from Srimad Bhagavatam over and over. And by Krishna's grace, we can, especially if we try to preach Krishna consciousness, get some realizations of the statements of the eternal liberated souls who come into this world to help wake us up, deliver us from our sojourn in this world of birth and death. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Your Prabhupada ki jai.